Our message for tonight is entitled, O Holy Night. This is the Christmas story through the words of this beautiful hymn. The writer of the hymn imagined himself witnessing the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem as he meditated upon the narrative of Luke's Gospel. And we have read it, and now we shall see it through the mind's eye of this beloved hymn writer. And it behooves us also to think and imagine and picture yourself upon this holy night, to recall the event of our Savior's birth. He entitled this hymn, O Holy Night, with an exclamation, to describe the awe and splendor of that special night. This is a special night to commemorate our Savior's birth. And this is the real Christmas story that we want to bring before you tonight. The child that was born was no ordinary child, but the Son of God. He is the exact representation of God, coming in the human flesh. And there is one character which the writer wants to bring before us in this hymn, and that is the holiness of God. Jesus Christ is pure and holy, without sin, conceived supernaturally in the womb of a virgin girl by the name Mary. Even the timing of his birth was significant. He divided the calendar BC before Christ and AD, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. Why did God send his Son? It is because he loved us. Why was Christmas necessary? Because we needed a Savior. This child, in stanza 2, is described as the gift of God's matchless love. What was the situation in the world when Christ was born? Stanza 1 of our hymn tells us, long lay the world in sin and darkness pining. Jesus Christ came to solve three problems that man cannot solve. Do you know what are they? If you were to analyze the life of men, human beings, you would spend time to study men and the makeup of men and the troubles that confront men. You will find that it boils down to three things. It is sin, sorrow, and death. And you ask anyone to analyze their life realistically, very frankly, the life of men, you would come to this conclusion. Of sin, we see that this world is plagued by hatred and violence. Right in the beginning of time, in the Garden of Eden, the first family was broken because the elder brother killed the younger brother. Cain killed Abel. And there began a history of hatred, a history of violence, a history of calamity, in the history of mankind. The British author, John Blanchard, he made a research and he said that in the past 4,000 years in human history, there have been no less than 300 years without a major war. And, you know, one pastor made a remark that in those 300 years of reprieve, what were the people doing? Well, they were busy reloading. And so if you were to think about the history of mankind, you would find that it is that history where somehow men just cannot get along one with another. And this English writer made a research of what happened during the years 1480 to 1941. Just a few hundred years, 400 years of human history. And he tells us that Great Britain was involved in 78 major wars. France in 16, Spain in 64, Russia in 61, Austria in 52, Germany in 23, the United States in 13, China in 11, and Japan in 9. This is the past 400 years of human existence, plagued with violence and trouble. How is it that men just cannot live peaceably one with another? There is an account on Christmas Eve in the year 1871. In the midst of the fierce fighting between Germany and France, you know, this hymn was written by a Frenchman. And in the ensuing years, well, there was a war called the Franco-Prussian War. And it was on that day, 24th of December, Christmas Eve. On this day, I calculated 144 years ago, when the two armies were fighting, shooting, bombing, and suddenly there was a French soldier who jumped out of his trench, and both sides of the army stared at this crazy man, and boldly standing with no weapon in his hand, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he sang in French, "Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining, it is the night of the Savior's birth." He saw the endless, the senseless killing all around him, and he was seeking reprieve. He could not find any. And he thought that he would do just one crazy act. Any different if he would do otherwise? Well, a stray bullet can come upon him any time. No, in a war, life is cheap. And so this is the history of men. Indeed, with sin comes sorrow. He cannot avoid it. Grief is an inevitable result of this fallen world. Broken relationships, broken family bonds, broken marital bonds plagued our human existence. Today, if you look at the statistics for families, you'll find in Singapore 30% divorce rate. In America, 50%. In Europe, 70 to 80%. Somehow, we just don't know how to live peaceably, joyfully, one with another. What is wrong with us? How is it that we cannot, much as we try, to live peaceably, joyfully? What is the missing ingredient in our life? Well, the Christmas story provides for us the answer. And to top it all up, sin, sorrow, the inevitable outcome, final outcome, is death. And none of us can escape. 10 out of 10, when death strikes in a family, the entire family sorrows for the departed loved ones. Well, we are experiencing this at this time. Our dear sister Ivy is slowly ebbing away. And over the last few days, we have been spending time in different groups going to see her. Well, she told us the last time that she was here, she would not pass this year of grace, 2015. Then 2 days ago, she says, perhaps I will. Truly, as King Solomon says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. We are awakened to the reality of life, and we are awakened to the sad plight of men. Is there no remedy, no hope that man will solve his problems? The solution comes in the Holy Child Jesus, which we want to present to you, that was born at Christmas time, 2,000 years ago. The name Jesus means Savior, for He has come to save His people from their sins. And this Holy Child was born to solve the problem of sin, sorrow, and death. Jesus Christ will take the punishment for our sins. He is holy, without sin, that He may be the perfect sacrifice to take away our sins. And so on this holy night, as we contemplate the birth of our Savior, this Holy Child Jesus, He was born with a mission to die, to bear the sins of all mankind. He paid the price in full, we know, and we are free from the condemnation of God when we accept this free gift of love. 3 thoughts that we want to glean from our hymn tonight. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. It is a gift of infinite worth. The Lord wants us to understand who Jesus Christ is and what He represents to all mankind, all who would receive Him. It is the gift of God's matchless love. That's what our hymn tells us in stanza 2. He came to die for sinners, guilty and forlorn. You imagine the heart of that soldier who was at the battlefront. What hope is there in life for him as he thinks of the carnage that is taking place all around him? Indeed, many a man has gone mad, cannot take all the violence and death that is taking place in the life of mankind. And the third, on a joyful note, it is a day of joy when this Savior who had come, who will come again to reign upon earth, when He comes to reign, there would be true peace upon earth. Have you wondered why God gave to humankind 7,000-8,000 of years of history? And Christ, God has not established His kingdom yet upon earth. Well, it is for us to see that we are unable to do so much as we try. Today, the world is moving toward a one world order, a one world system. Right? You see recently the implementation of the carbon tax. Right? This is a taxation for the first time upon every man, everyone who breathes, right, breathes out carbon dioxide. Right? You are a liability. And so every nation of the world has come together and agreed upon a formula whereby now, you know, carbon emission becomes a commodity amongst nations. You can trade carbon emission. So if you are a greener nation, you can choose to, you know, trade some of your carbon emissions. Well, what is the world doing? Well, the world is trying its best to come together to find a solution to its problems. And as we think and as we consider, we realize that this unity, this peace is just so fragile, right? Amongst the nations, war is going on. And so as we think and consider, we want us to realize that, you know, except our Lord would return and establish His kingdom upon earth, there would be no true peace. The next slide, please. This is the first thought that we have. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. It is a gift of infinite worth. Why is this Savior such an important person? Well, our gospel text in the Matthew tells us. Next slide, please. First thing that we want us to see is that the birth of Jesus Christ was announced by a stir in the cosmos. A cosmic miracle took place, and this was observed with great interest by the wise men from the east. And this is what the Gospel of Matthew tells us. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the Lord wants us to see and understand that Jesus Christ is no ordinary person. You know, in the Chinese history, the emperor is called the Son of Heaven. And each time a new emperor would ascend to the throne, well, it's an important event. And the astrologers in ancient China would see the stars. Well, the Lord has deemed it fit to show us that this is a special birth. And there were these wise men from the east who came to witness, to confess that indeed this child is special. There was a deliberate effort made by this man to take this long journey. We are told that they took the initiative when they saw the supernatural sign in the heaven, how it is connected to the birth of the Jewish Messiah. How did they know? Well, Daniel, in his writing, did show us that this Messiah is not only the King of the Jews, but he is also the King of the nations. And as this ancient wise man pieced together the jigsaw puzzle concerning this heavenly king, well, the Lord gave a sign. After all, not every king has a star announcing His birth. And so we want us to understand that the coming of Jesus Christ is very special. God is not using a sign in the heavens with the astrologers to help us to validate this practice of astrology. But here our great God has condescended to use a star to speak to the stargazers of His abundant grace in sending His only begotten Son. And so this man came from the east, and they went to Herod's palace. But the newborn king was not there. Next slide. When Herod had heard these things, the Bible tells us, he was very troubled. You see, he was king. He was ruler at Jerusalem. And if there would be another king that would come to take over, well, he surely would be troubled. And so the Lord brought this wise man to come to announce the coming of this King of the Jews. Our text tells us, indeed, when Herod heard these things, he was troubled. And he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And we all know that the coming of Jesus Christ has been prophesied 700 years earlier by the prophet Micah 5:2, to be in Bethlehem. And so they told him, in Bethlehem of Judah shall come a governor that shall rule my people. Next. If you were to look at the map of Israel, you would be able to see Bethlehem just about 9 kilometers south of Jerusalem. And the prophecy came 700 years earlier, when Bethlehem was just a tiny, inconsequential village. How no one would know, right, how Bethlehem today would become a top 10 vacation spot in Israel. If you went there, you would find a few small houses. That's about it. When Jesus was born, Bethlehem was still very much off the beaten track. The Jews knew that the Messiah would be born there. God told them 700 years ago. It was no secret. But it is so strange, isn't it? The people who were supposed to have the Word of God, somehow they missed, and they could not see that this Messiah was just born nearby, as it were, as the saying goes, in the backyard. And they didn't see it, didn't notice. And God had to send this wise man from the east, men whom God would endow with divine wisdom to be able to know that this child is different. Next slide. Next. And so this wise man went to Bethlehem. And when they saw the child Jesus, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they fell down and they worshipped Him. And, you know, our text tells us that they brought unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What are these gifts? Well, gold is the most precious gift, fit for kings. But what is frankincense? Do you know that frankincense is more expensive than gold by gram? Frankincense is one of the consecrated incense used for the worship of God in the tabernacle, fitted for the only for the worship of God. And Israel, the people in Israel, are not allowed to make incense for themselves. It is only to be used for the worship of God. And in the ancient times, it is used only, fitted only for the king. When this incense is used, it makes the mind very clear and very alert. You know, you are sleepy, just a little bit, you are awake. And you know, the top managers in many Japanese companies, well, they avail themselves with this so that they may be performing tip-top all the time. Frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh is also very expensive. It preserves corpses for a long time. The Egyptian pharaohs were wrapped in myrrh. And so these were the three very expensive and significant gifts that this wise man brought. It's very interesting, isn't it? That God would bring Gentiles from the East with the knowledge of God, with the heart to worship the living and true God, to make that journey all the way here, all the way there to see our Lord. We thank God that some of you have taken a long journey to come to church for worship, that you may come together with the people of God in the worship of the one living and true God. The wise men were special. So they were directed to Bethlehem, and there they saw the Savior. The next. And so as you think and imagine the scene of the Savior's birth, stanza one of our hymn tells us, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Imagine there was one special star that led them all the way to where the Savior laid in the manger. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and darkness pining. Indeed, the problem of sin, sorrow and death cannot be solved. This is the solution. Till he appeared, gift of God's infinite worth. Next. Behold the babe in yonder manger, lowly. This God's own Son, come down in human form. What did the wise men do? Well, they fell on their knees before the Lord most holy. They understood the infinite worth of this child that was laid before them in the manger. O night divine, never before in the history of mankind, and never again, a holy night when God's Son would be born. O night when Christ was born. O night divine. O night divine. Next. Our second thought from stanza 2. It is the gift of God's matchless love. He came to die for sinners, guilty and forlorn. Imagine the guilt that is in the heart of that French soldier. Each time he has to pull the trigger, each time he knew that, you know, that bullet must count. And he also knows that when that bullet is counted, a life has also fallen. Imagine the guilty conscience that is in the heart of such a man. Well, this is what sin will do to the heart of man. A guilty conscience. He came to die for sinners, guilty and forlorn. And in this second stanza, we want us to see that God did not reveal the coming of His Son to the wise men first, but to shepherds in the field in Bethlehem. The illiterate men, little versed in human learning, the Lord revealed to them by angels in a choral singing. Never before, angels appearing to these shepherds with humble hearts. Well, you see that the shepherds were the humble and obedient servants of God, because they would take the witness of the angels, and our Bible tells us that they would go and they would declare what they saw. And that is why we have the record today of the truth concerning the coming of the Lord. This was what they saw, the shepherds in the field. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And we want us to ponder the significance of this blessed divine birth, which is Christ the Lord. Next. And what did the angel said to the shepherds? "Go to Bethlehem and you shall see a baby in a manger. This will be the sign to identify this holy child. And you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Indeed, this holy child came in order to bring peace upon all who would receive him, would receive the strength to overcome sin, to say no to sin, to say no to violence. Because there is a power that this Savior will impart to us. When we received Him, the power over sin, the oppression of sin, He has that power to break the bondage of sin. And so the shepherds were led by the angel's instructions to go to Bethlehem, and they witnessed the birth of the Savior. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which is Christ, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. There was no occupation lower than being a shepherd in those days. 1,000 years earlier, David, the youngest of the 8 children of Jesse, was assigned that humble and dangerous task by his father to take care of the sheep. It involved sleepless hours during cold nights on a grassy hillside, sometimes threatened by wild animals. And you know, shepherds are good stargazers. They have plenty of time. They are out in the open field. And so the Lord witnessed to them, showed to them, and they would know that these are people who will carry that message next. So this message was made known by the shepherds. They were the first missionaries of the great shepherd. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it, at those things which were told them by the shepherds, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. With humble hearts, we bow in adoration. Before this child, God, gift of God's infinite love, what grace untold to leave the bliss of glory. You know, when the angels appeared in the sky, demonstrated the great power. Well, angels, you know, possess great power. But at that point in time, they were there rejoicing, singing. Why? Because this Savior that would come would bring salvation to many, would bring peace, would bring joy to the hearts of many who had received Him. This is the good news of the of Christmas. This is the message of that holy night that we want to bring before you. What grace untold to leave the bliss of glory and die for sinners, guilty and forlorn. This is the Savior. Fall on your knees before the Lord most holy. That's what the shepherds did, as did the wise men. Next. The third thought. It is a day of joy when He returns to reign, when every tongue due praise to Him shall render. O day of joy, when in eternal splendor He shall return in His glory to reign, when every tongue due praise to Him shall render, His power and might to all nations proclaim. Next. A thrill of our hope, our longing hearts rejoices, for soon shall dawn that glad eternal morn. Well, this is a message for all of us here. All who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, we look forward to the day when our Lord would come and receive us. A new dawn when eternity would begin. With joy, lift up your voices. This is the rejoicing that the Lord wants us to consider as we think of this holy night. Next. O holy night divine, when Christ was born. In His first coming, Jesus came as a Savior. When He returns, He will come as a judge for all who do not know Him. He will also return to reign upon earth so that true peace and joy exist in humankind, when He showed us He will show to us how we are to rule. Jesus would rule by love. He would rule by His character. The church would reign with Him for 1,000 years. This is a Christian's blessed hope, a coming era of peace. And you know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, how do we prepare ourselves to reign with Christ at His coming? It is by a holy life. It is by a character that manifests the attributes of God in its fullness. This is how we would rule with Christ. And the Lord wants us to, and gives to us that ability through His Spirit to exercise that strength today in our relationship, in our dealings one with another. And our sister Huili gave this stanza of the hymn, which is not found in your hymn book. It is interesting that this stanza was brought by this man, American writer called John Sullivan Dwight, from France to America. And there, this song was made popular in the churches. And he was touched by this song because he was an abolitionist during the time when slavery was prevalent in America. And Dwight strongly identified with the lines of this verse, which I bring before you, which our sister Huili has sung for us. Truly, and as an application for our tonight, truly He taught us, for all who name the name of Christ, He has taught us to love one another. His law is love, and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Dwight published the English translation of O Holy Night, and it quickly found favor in America, especially in the North during the Civil War. And today we have the privilege of this hymn passed down to us. Three thoughts. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. It is the gift of infinite worth. It is the gift of God's matchless love. He came to die for sinners, guilty and forlorn. It is a day of joy when He returns to reign, when every tongue due praise to Him shall render. Well, this is the Christmas story, according to this hymn writer of the hymn, O Holy Night. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for the Christmas message. We want to thank Thee for the gift of Thy Son. And Lord, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He has died on the cross and paid for our debt with His precious blood. And Father, You have raised Him from the dead the third day. And You have promised to save all who would trust in what Jesus Christ has done. O Lord, right now, on this holy night, in this place, at this moment, right now, we want to bring ourselves in consecration once again to Thee. May Thou receive us. May Thou forgive our sins. May Thou save us. And we pray this, that You may indeed work a sanctifying work in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that if there be some in our midst who still do not know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, we ask that Thou would cause such a one to have faith, to understand who the Savior is, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's gift of infinite worth, God's gift of His matchless love. O Lord, we pray that Thou would help such a one to not be ashamed, but be willing to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. O Lord, may Thou begin this work of grace in such a heart. O Lord, that this person may have a courage to receive Thy Son this night. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.